I would like to begin in the book of Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. Some of the thoughts that I have on my mind through the actual subject that's on my mind this morning kept taking me back to last Sunday. I tried to talk about the parable of the sower last Sunday and the gospel message, the four responses to the doctrine and the gospel preached in Matthew. Of course, it's in three of the gospels, but I'm thankful for and love it when, as I'm trying to study and meditate for today or the Sunday coming up or whatever it may be, that I'm taken back to something, a message from before. Which one of those responses that was the problem? The one response, which was no response, was when Satan comes and just removes it before the seed can even be planted. And another one, though, is that it doesn't take good root. It lands on stony ground. And I pray that this will land on fertile ground, that fourth response. In Jeremiah, the 6th chapter, I believe, after going through and reading and studying and thinking of all the verses that I run across, and many of which I intend to or pray that I'll go to, I typically preacher, I think, will land on what is his text verse, that this encapsulates it, and it's in this chapter. But let me set this up. I think knowing that you all know what this is all about, but Jeremiah, his prophecy was warning Israel about something that's going to happen if they don't do something, and they didn't believe it, or they didn't respond to it in the way that they should have. And so it's the impending destruction and bondage and captivity of the Babylonians of Judah, and Jerusalem. And so that he prophesies of this. And as usual, God, through Jeremiah, through his prophet, gives them a solution. He just says, this is it, so clear. And again, I don't follow that up by then saying, well, why couldn't they see that? Or why couldn't they just, this plain verse here, this prophecy, because... Again, I do that in my life. There's something plain out there. I see it. This is the path. Brother Jeff prayed that God would lead us in our path going into the future and show us the walk and the path that we should take. So that's the subject on my mind, is this walking and this walk that we should walk in our lives, the path. But then I don't take it. I'm just like them. Whether or not they were just simply stiff-necked, knowing what they should do, or they just know this is Jeremiah's wrong. Whatever the case may be, they did not follow it. But I want to bring out some things about God the Father in this 6th chapter. So we have the problem. It's about the 6th verse of the 6th chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, "For thus hath the Lord of hosts said, Hew ye down trees and cast a mount against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is holy, oppression in the midst of her." So the problems here, it wasn't just one problem. There's oppression. So they're guilty of that. There, of course, sin, just blanket that across there, and idolatry and the rejection of God. So they got a lot of problems going on here. I think in the New Testament we have epistles to churches, and then, of course, we can go to Revelations and the seven churches of Asia and the messages to those churches. And there's a specific problem. Israel had big problems here. And so it's being Jeremiah's laying it out here. So we have the problem, but then here is what's going to happen, he's saying. In the eighth verse, be thou instructed, O Jerusalem. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. That sounds pretty serious. So when I start applying this to my life, and I'm going down the wrong path, or I am not taking what is right plain in my face, that this is the solution, then God's still just as serious now as he was then in this rejection of God. And I forget that because I'm busy hanging on to his mercy, which he has. He abundantly gives me, and his grace. So then he continues in the 10th, I'm going to go to the 10th verse. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. They're in a sad shape here. Israel is. Israel's in a bad situation. They have no delight in it, the word of the Lord. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord, Jeremiah says. I am weary with holding in. He can't hold it any longer. I'm weary with holding this in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad, and upon the assembly of young men together, for even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. No one's going to be spared here. Let me go to the 15th verse. I'm going to get down to my text. 15th verse says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. He's going to visit Jerusalem, remember. They shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Now, the 16th verse is my text today. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. There's two things there. Stand thee in the ways and see. Sometimes I'm standing somewhere, I don't see. And this week, Kathy and I and around the house and all, there was something, you see, now I can't even remember. When she asked me, I think, did you see this or notice that? And it's like, it was right in front of me and I had not seen it. And also, I don't always, just because I'm standing there doesn't mean I see something. So stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? That's where the good way. That's the good way. Stand ye in the ways. Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. Walk therein. So we're not just standing. Walk therein. And I want to bring in another word into this in just a moment. But so far we have it. Well, why do that? And ye shall find rest for your souls. There's the reason. And again, this next sentence in this verse 16 tells how they responded, and you know how they did. And I'll go ahead and wrap this up. But they said, "We will not walk therein." He's saying, "Walk therein in these old paths, in a certain way." We're to do it. If you do that, there will be rest for your souls and so much more. And same message today, and we'll go to the New Testament in a bit, and we'll see the same wording over there. And a couple more verses, and then I'm going to move on. In the 19th verse below there. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people. And that's calamity. Even the fruit of their thoughts, because... So why? He's going to give a reason. Because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. So he's plain. He says, this is what you've done wrong. This is the solution. This is what's going to happen to you. And God does this. The Babylonian captivity was brought on by God. And it's like, well, I thought God loved... First people would say, I thought God loved everybody. Well, you know, I don't want to get into that. But even his children, and this is his chosen people, but they're rejecting him. So as a parent, their parent, they will be punished for that. And they will learn from it. Will they stop doing this kind of stuff? No. No, they'll keep on. Just like me. So I still beg for his mercy. Then in 21st verse, therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people. And the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. So it's not going to be pretty. And so this is what happens. And that does happen. And then they come out of captivity and so forth. So there's God's mercy and grace in that. So there is a certain area in which we are to walk. Our walk should be therein. Where is that? Now this says staying in the ways. That's the ways of the fathers, and that's correct. Even as I first said it, it's the ways of the father. But and so it's not just simple traditions of men. These are traditions of God that God instituted, precepts that their fathers, natural fathers, had followed. And so stand in those, and then ask for the old paths. Now, as I head toward Job, I want to stop in Proverbs, go back to Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, and I think it's just a short sentence there, 22nd chapter of Proverbs, 28th verse. All it says here is, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. So there's that. There's scripture for what I just said. The fathers, it's the plural, the fathers have set something. They set this ancient landmark in days of old, and they're to stand in that, stand therein, walk therein, in that. Now, in Job, the 24th chapter... Job chapter 24. And this word landmark is here again. But Job, and we all know Job's, much of Job's experience here and what happened to him and so forth. But in the first verse of the 24th chapter of Job, he says, why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, so he's about to say something here, but knowing and seeing that times are not hidden from the Almighty, there's nothing hidden from God. He's aware of him. So Job continues, so why do they that know him not see his days, and it's days of punishment? So Job's issue was all these people out there, this is happening to me, woe is me, Job, he's suffering at the hands of Satan. God's stepped away, and then we know the story here, but why are all of those evil ones out there not being punished, knowing, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty? He knows. Why is he not punishing them? Because Job, at this point, he's been told, you know, well, you must have done something to deserve this, all this punishment and all. So, well, what about them? Knowing that these things are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know him not see his days? Now, in the second verse, some remove the landmarks. Some remove the landmarks. So that's bad. I just read in Proverbs 22:28 that we're not to remove the ancient landmark, it said there. They violently take away flocks and feed thereof. And so some had removed landmarks. He's lumping them in with these ones that are wicked, that are doing things that should be punished. And it's interesting, and that's where I'm going to stop reading here. But I noticed here in, if we go down to about the sixth verse and continue down, the first word in a bunch of these verses is the word they. They do this. They cause. They reap. They are. They pluck. And then he says men. He's talking about all of them. I tend to think that way. My human nature is, well, why aren't they suffering? Why are they getting away with that? Well, number one, I don't know that they are getting away with something. Those ones that I would have be punished for something. It could be that, God can handle these things without my help. He doesn't need me to get into that. So I'll just lay that there. Now, I'm going to go to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th verse. 1 Thessalonians, 5th chapter, if I said verse. So here we have some similar words, and so far, so we have both standing in the old paths, asking for the old paths, the traditions of the fathers, don't move the landmarks, and all this walking that we'll talk a little bit more about now. All that walking is done within those landmarks. I think a lot of the church that we're not to move anything, not add anything to. If you move a landmark out, now you have someone else's land in yours. We don't want to bring that in. And if you move the landmark in, you've left something out. It's already set where the fathers have set those landmarks, and God has set those and then shown us. And they're not to be removed or moved. So in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 21, to read the whole verse here, it says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Now, we were already told in Jeremiah 6:16 that there'd be rest, and that's the good way, and so forth. And so here it says, hold fast that which is good. So the message of the apostle Paul, the gospel, the writers of the New Testament, they bring that over. They're still within those landmarks here, preaching the same gospel of what we're to do here. And just like last Sunday, that none of the things that I said last Sunday in the three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, about this parable of the sower, had anything to do with gaining our eternal home in heaven. It was all here. It was all responses to the gospel, which does not have anything to do with our eternal salvation, but there's a salvation in that here. There's a salvation in this. There's a salvation in not moving or removing the ancient landmarks. There is a salvation in walking therein the old paths. There is a rest there. We all need a rest. When we hear of someone that has a terminal disease or someone that's suffering serious emotional problems or someone that we bring on ourselves sometimes and sometimes we don't, the rest is still there if we walk therein in that and keep our eyes focused on the Almighty, which that name of God was mentioned a couple of times in there, the Almighty. And we see how mighty He is, and yet we see His kind mercies upon us. And so I'm thankful to see that, and there's rest in it. And I don't want to say, when all else fails, when all I've got left is that I know I still believe through faith that when my natural life ends, then it's a win-win that I will be immediately with Jesus Christ, my Savior and Redeemer. I'll see him face to face at that point. But it's not when all else fails. We know that, and it carries us through this life. There is a salvation in that, and we know it. We know that there is. The apostle writes that here to hold fast that which is good. Now in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, just a few pages over, the 15th verse. Now this is more closely the wording from the Old Testament that I just went through. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. So stand fast, there's that. And hold the traditions which ye have been taught. So there's two different ways there, whether by word or our epistle. So either by the epistle that he wrote, or by word. Stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught. Getting more with the walking in this, I think of Enoch in Genesis. I think it's the fifth chapter, but I won't go there. But it says there's a phrase there I want to grab though. It says Enoch, he walked with God. And we can find, and I looked, and I thought, I'm not going to go into and go to every single place where it brings these things out, but there the phrases in God's Word are, this one is, walk with God. We're to do that. And I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 11 in a moment and read a little bit more about Enoch in that walk with God. But we have walk in the Spirit. We have walk in love. There are many ways that we are to walk. And all of those, if we walk therein, there's a rest in that. There is a salvation in that. Hebrews 11, if I can find Hebrews. You may already be there if you knew where Enoch was. Yeah, there it is, the fifth verse of the 11th chapter. So it said Enoch in Genesis 5, it said that Enoch walked with God. So here it says, by faith, Enoch was translated. So I would say, well, let's see, why was he translated? And it says that he should not see death. So he didn't see death. He was translated. And then it says, it's worded here, it says, and was not found. So all of a sudden, in a moment, he was not found. He's gone. He was translated that he should not see death. And we already know he walked with God. And it says, because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. In this walk, so you might say, well, this was a responsibility, your responsibility type sermon or duty, D-U-T-Y, a duty. It's our duty to do something and all. But there's a blessing in that. There's a blessing in doing that. It's not just this is the rules you need to do this, but as I already made the point, there's rest in it. And here it says that he pleased God. He walked with God. Enoch did that. He did not have to walk. God didn't determine that he would walk that way. He doesn't with us either. It takes work. It takes that daily to pick up our cross daily and walk with him. Walk therein. So then, as we continue here, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. So that the last part phrase in that fifth verse was that Enoch pleased God, but without faith it is impossible to please him. So we know, we can deduce that Enoch had faith. Well, he walked with God. So yes, he did. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I don't want to live my life only diligently seeking God in the times that I am at the bottom here. I have reached the bottom, and the only way I can come crawl out of this is to reach for God as a last resort. I want to diligently seek Him when things are good. For me, of late, they have been good. I see the good in that. And he blesses us to do this. If you're experiencing something that is really serious or in a negative way, whatever it may be, we're still able to find blessings in that. That opens up the fact that God, number one, God is still with you, and that He will lift you up in that, and to get you that, maybe I just need to make one more step, and He gives me what I need to do that. He does all of us. He has. And so as we pile on that those experiences, then now at this point in my life, I know in yours, it's easier to spot those instances. You know, thought back way years ago, something to come to my mind, something that happened, and I said, well, now I see what that was, and I see God in it. I didn't see it then. Like, well, it would have been nice to know that or to see that, but I see it now in that. As I move on here, and I think of Abram, I think it's in the 17th chapter of Genesis. It said God told him, Abram, to walk before me. And he said, I am the Almighty. So there's that word Almighty again. So we see, I keep always in the back of my mind the might and the power and the ability of God to do what we know that He's done to His people. And then that shines a light on His mercy and His grace in our lives, and just knowing that. So now in Ephesians, the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, the first verse or so, Ephesians chapter 5, continuing on this walk, our walk that we're to walk therein. Apostle Paul says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. So followers of God, that's our walk. That's the walk that we should walk in our lives, followers of God. And then here's the phrase I mentioned earlier, I believe, second verse, and walk in love, walk in love. That's a battle. I can't remember, somewhere recently, maybe it's a sermon I have listened to in the past days or something, but it is difficult when someone does something to us that might make us mad to continue that walk, to walk in love. It's like, well, no, they deserve this or do they deserve that. I put Job's hat on. You know, well, why isn't God punishing them for whatever that is? Maybe He is handling that. Maybe He will handle it, which would be in His perfect time. Maybe I need to be handled by God. Maybe that's it there. But to walk in love, that's a work. But and it's the love that God has given us, has put in us, the same love as Jesus Christ. We can go to 1 John. But it says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. So that's a tall order. That's the kind of love we're to walk in as Christ has loved us. Well, how much does He love us? And I say does, not did He. He did, but He still does. He gave Himself for us. He died for his enemies. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now, before I go to my closing verse in Revelations, I want to go by, again, Hebrews, but the fourth chapter. And in this, I'm going to go about the 15th verse, fourth chapter of Hebrews. But I'm thinking, because I always think of, well, what was the walk of Jesus Christ while he was here? I think of Matthew, the fourth chapter as well, the first verse or two. That he, it says that he, Jesus was led away to be tempted of the devil. And we know about 40 days, 40 nights, and so forth. He was tempted of the devil. And so here, and I think, okay, well, he suffered that first thought that's always come to my mind. Yes, but he was God. That didn't matter. It was nothing. It was nothing being tempted by him. He was God. No, it was something. Just as when he was nailed to the cross, he's also the Son of Man. Son of God, Son of Man. He suffered these things. He had to because he was going to suffer in our place on the cross as a sacrifice that I just mentioned there. So he was tempted. That was part of his walk. He was led, yeah, but he walked to where the devil tempted him there. So now let's go to the 15th verse, the 4th chapter of Hebrews. Says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So he was tempted like as we are, but without sin. He is impeccable. He was never going to, as he was being tested by Satan, by the devil, he was never going to succumb to sin because he didn't have an iota of sin in his body, in his being there. But so he was tempted of that. So he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities and was in all points, not just some of them, all of them. If you suffer some kind of temptation or a test, tribulation in life, he suffered it. He suffered in all points. Tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So I'll put that now in Revelations, and I'll close with this verse in the second chapter of Revelation. This message, and it's in red right here. Jesus speaking to the churches through John and these seven churches, literal churches. Under the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. The seven golden candlesticks represent the seven churches of Asia. They're literal churches. So there's not a big mystery. There's a lot in Revelation that I will never, while I'm live here, understand. Anyway, there's ministers who have been blessed to bring some of this out, and I'm thankful for them. But who walketh in the midst of the seven, he walks in the midst of the churches. Even these churches that he had a problem with here, he still, even Laodicea, he loved them. The lukewarmness of them, though he was ready to spew them from his mouth. I hang on to the fact that he still loved them. If he didn't love them, they wouldn't have been one of the seven churches that he wrote to, nor would he walk in the midst of them. But he still walks in the midst of his church. If I didn't think today, this morning, that Jesus Christ was going to walk in our midst today, I would have texted somebody, I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to be. And I wouldn't go if I were you either, because he's not going to walk in the midst of us. But he does. I don't give you all much credit in as the closer I get in the song service to the preaching service, I think, well, why is it that just before I'm going to have to get up and speak audibly to the congregation, do I have trouble with my emotions? Well, because I know it's, and it's your beautiful singing, blessed by God, Jesus Christ singing in the midst of us. But it's the Spirit of God knowing how to handle my situation. So, Ward, straighten yourself out. It's about Him. It's about God. Amen. We will glorify the Lord, that song that we sang. We will glorify Him. And He'll have His glory. And He's a jealous God. He demands our full praise, honor, and glory. And that's what we're to give Him. And we do that within the landmarks that He set up in the church, this great blessing of His. A new year, I always think, okay, that on that first, it's time. I have an opportunity like a date matters. No, I could, on the 17th of December, I could have turned over a new leaf on something. I could have repented of something. But I always say, okay, it's a new opportunity to serve Him better. And it is. Tomorrow is going to be the same thing on the 5th for all of us to serve Him better, to concentrate on Him. He will, I tell you what, God will grow this church in spirit. He will grow this church in number. He will bless us in our lives when we're out there earning a living to support our families. He'll bless us to remember Him even more then. He'll do that. Walk therein. May God bless and keep you. We'll sing a song down.